Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. It's Rick and Rob. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
It's been a great day.
Oh, it's been a great day. You know, they were talking about the big storm that was coming through.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it got wet for a while.
Yeah.
You know, wind was blowing a little bit, but, it wasn't bad.
You know, I don't think it was that bad for me because, like, you know, I've been traveling a lot recently. We were in Dallas recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when the tornadoes came through Dallas.
Oh, man.
We're actually in Fort Worth, but that's where they came through.
They came through right there.
So we're at this restaurant. We found this Italian restaurant that served tons of gluten-free stuff.
Oh, good.
Gluten-free pasta, gluten-free pizza.
Really?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. But we're sitting there waiting for a dinner, and Linda goes, "Is it raining sideways?" And we look out the window. And the rain, it's like raining like just sideways.
Sheets sideways.
I'm like, "Hey, can we get our check and maybe some to-go boxes?" "Well, you haven't brought your food yet." I know, but I'm not going to be hunkered down in the bathroom here.
Yeah, exactly.
The hotel was like two blocks away.
Ooh. How long did it take for it to go through?
It was going like 65 miles an hour. So it like 8 minutes
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
It was nothing. But we got back to the hotel before it actually came through. And I'm like looking out the window. Like we're on like the 8th or 10th floor. I'm like peeking out the window.
How do you crack these windows?
Yeah. Like
make sure that the
big tree right. down yeah. in the parking lot. I was like, "Oh, look at that. Stay away from my rental."
It's a rental. Don't worry about it.
I didn't have the extra insurance.
Oh, yeah. You're like me. We went to Des Moines, Iowa, the beginning of this month, and you know we flew on Allegiant.
Well, I'm not that cheap.
and rented a car to drive around in Des Moines, and they're like, "Do you want the extra insurance?" I was like, "No,
I have to."
Good.
Today we're going to talk about the prodigal son. But before we get there, I'll tell you this. Linda and I had went to California a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
And our hope, like we had it all mapped out, right? We're going to Saddleback, right? We're going to, so we're going to go to Rick Warren's church. We're going to go to Greg Laurie's church. We're going to Z's church. Like our vacation consisted of which night we could go to different churches.
Yeah, that's
right?
Cool. That's cool.
You know, now we had a Disneyland day in there once, but.
Well, you got to have that.
But it was still, because that was a free day.
Yeah.
From churches.
From churches. We're going to go secular today to Disney.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. But
the only secular day of our
vacation. What did I rent? A Toyota 4Runner. And I never get the extra insurance.
Really?
And they're like, "Do you want the extra insurance?" I'm like, "Sure." I backed into a Tesla.
Good thing you got the extra insurance. Oh my goodness! Well, there's a whole bunch. I have decided every single vehicle that I've ever put like a Harley plate on the front of it. You know, because in Tennessee we don't have to have a plate on the front and the back.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I'll get like a Harley tag or. I've had, live to ride, ride to live tag,
and
all different kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I put a tag on my front bumper, I hit something. And so I told Rebecca the other day, I said, "I'm going to quit putting stuff on the front of my truck. You know, there's not going to be any more Harley Davidson stuff on the front end of my truck." Because I literally, true story, I put a Harley tag on my truck. 2 weeks later, a deer runs out in front of me, killed a deer. I still haven't fixed the front end from that yet.
You should stop that.
I should stop that. All right, so let's get into what our topic is. So we've been, the last several podcasts, we've been talking about the parables of Jesus. And Rick and I have enjoyed so much these conversations.
Yeah.
We've enjoyed going and digging into the Word together about the parables and things of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about the parable of the prodigal son. And Rick, you're going to read this,
I'm going to read it.
You're going to read it. All right. So
I'm going to read. I read out of the NIV, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to start with Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And it says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods and that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Hmm. So, so lots of sermon material, lots of teaching. There's a whole lot of things to unpack out of here.
You could unpack that for days.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
What strikes me that I kind of want to start this conversation off with was the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property. It's coming to me," and he divided the property between them. So there was the obvious division between the prodigal and his older brother or his brother.
Right.
And it says, "Not many days later, the young son gathered all that he had, took a journey far into another country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living," or I forgot what the end of verse 13 said in the NIV.
It said, "Squandered his wealth in wild living."
In wild living. "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine rose in that country."
Yeah.
So this guy talks his dad into giving him his part of the inheritance.
Yeah.
Up to that point.
Yeah.
And he takes off with it. And he took him a few days to get going. So obviously he had some kind of plan.
Right.
And he goes to a faraway country. And this is what, this is the first thing that I want to point out. Why is it, when we decide to plan on sin, that we want to go where nobody knows us?
Right.
We want to go where, you know.
Like, I'm going to do some bad stuff, so I'm going where nobody's going to recognize
there me. There's some nefarious debauchery about to happen.
That's right.
And I want
to. Is that why people go to Vegas?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the Vegas motto, right? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we want to go away to do bad things.
Yeah.
One bad thing leads to another bad thing that leads to another bad thing. And the next thing you know, the baddest of all comes through with this famine on this guy.
Yeah.
He's squandered everything. He's spent it all. He's snorted it. He's drank it. He's, you know, whatever.
Prostitutes,
the whole nine yards.
I mean, it even says prostitutes.
Right. And that's one of the big things that the brother points out at the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, he did all this crap.
Right.
You know, when I think about it, I heard Greg Laurie say that, I don't remember what he was being interviewed for, but they were talking about the prodigal son. He said, anybody who walks away and comes back is prodigal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I never really recognized that. But, when you really think about it, right, because this story is telling us it's not about the father. It's about God.
Right.
And you may have somebody who is faithful to God every single day of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have somebody who was faithful to God and stumbled or fell.
Mm-hmm.
And came back and God welcomed them with a celebration.
Right.
It doesn't matter as long as you turn and come back.
I was in a church service one time where this passage was brought up. And the guy that was speaking at the time said, I want you to picture something. He said, I want you to picture this father standing on the porch of his house.
Mm.
And he said, and as you picture it, remind yourself of the dress code of this time. So this guy's got like a long robe on.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got, an overcoat type of thing. And he sees this speck coming down the driveway.
Yeah.
And he's looking, he's like, Wait. Is that what I think it is?
Yeah. He's like this.
Look at him a little closer.
Putting his eyes up.
Right, right. And so when he realizes that it's his son, he takes off running. Now, remember this. This guy's in a robe.
Yeah.
He's in a long tunic.
Yeah.
Right? That covers his feet. So he has got, in order to be able to run, he's got to wad this thing up and carry it. And take off running so that his legs are free to run.
Yeah.
Think about what he's going through to hold this thing up while he's running. Mm. He ain't running like Barney
Rubble. Well, yeah, it's not easy, right?
Right.
There's some hurdles that have to
come over. Right. There's some things that you've got to overcome to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So the things that God overcomes for us to come back.
Does God overcome or does God
make us overcome?
Make us overcome. Oh, right? Because I don't think God has to.
Well, he prepares it.
He prepares it, but.
And he makes it happen for us to overcome.
Yeah, yeah. Makes it for us to overcome.
Right.
Right, right. But I don't know that God has to overcome it. We have to. He's there.
Well, right.
Right.
Right. But the way that love is shown is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. He forgives us.
Exactly.
Right? He has to forgive all the crap that we do.
Right. Right. But do you think God's sitting on a porch somewhere going, is that Rick? Is that Rob?
I want to believe he is.
I believe so.
I want to believe that he is absolutely sitting there going, man, it'd be nice if Rick come home.
Yeah.
Because in this story, you don't hear it, but for however long that son was gone.
He's looking.
That father wanted him to come home.
Sure.
The reason he was on that porch,
mm-hmm.
looking down the driveway, it was probably something he did every day.
Probably so.
Right? He probably went and worked and had his servants do the things they needed to do, but there was probably a time in his day, every single day, that he stood there.
Looking down the driveway.
Hoping and praying that his son comes home.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how he comes home.
Just as long as he comes
home. As long as he comes home alive. Right. Right, because once he comes home, he was dead when he left.
Yep.
Just like we are dead to our sin,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we accept Christ back into our lives or accept Christ for the first time, we're alive.
We're alive again.
Right?
Yeah. And that's the amazing thing about it in this story. You know, let alone that the brother gets a little butt hurt. No, I'm not supposed to say that.
No, you're okay. You're okay. But, I've heard somebody say before, I heard somebody say this before, I grew up in Utah, there's a bunch mm-hmm. of Mormons. I heard somebody who was Mormon say one time, because they believe in three tiers of heaven.
Right.
Right. And I heard them say, well, I don't want to be in the same heaven as somebody who was in jail. And I almost I want to say what are you talking about? But, that brother who was faithful and stayed. He was pissed off. The son came back and got equal or more, right?
Right, right.
So how many Christians that have been staunch Christians their whole life And you see it when, like, maybe somebody who's not that way walks into a church and they're, like, snubbing their nose at them. I'm being honest, right?
Yeah.
Like, have you seen Jesus Revolution yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
All right. I'm not ruining it, right? But there's a part in the story where some staunch church people are like, it's the hippies or us. And the pastor's like, that door works both ways.
Oh, my.
And they leave. So how many of those staunch people are mad at God for loving the people who come back? Mm. Because that's what it is. They may not want to admit that they're mad at God for it.
Right. But there's a – and I can't – I'm trying to remember the address of the scripture right now about the master that has workers in the field at the beginning of the day come to find out they're not going to make it by the end of the day. So he sends for more help, and he gives everybody the same wage.
I don't remember
what that, but anyway, and the folks that were there at the beginning of the day said, why are you paying them the same amount that you're paying us?
Right.
You know, it's the same thing as the prodigal son's.
Right.
You know, with his attitude.
That's right.
And the prodigal son, not the prodigal son, but the brother of the prodigal son's attitude.
It's the workers in the vineyard.
Workers in the vineyard. That's it.
It's Matthew 20, 1 through 16.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that one in another podcast.
In another podcast. That's coming up. But, yeah. But the older son here, he's out in the field and he's coming in from working and he sees what's going on. And he sees that there's a party going on, and they're telling him, hey, guess what? Your brother's back.
He's like, I ain't going in there.
And, you know, why?
I ain't going in there.
I'm gonna be out here and be mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out here and be mad.
Yeah. Have you ever really thought about it like that, though? Like the staunch Christian who grew up their whole life in the church and they believe this is how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
I like to call it high church.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I do too. So like,
yeah, yeah. You got to wear a suit. You got to have a jacket. Yeah. You can't.
The choir's got to be in robes.
That's right. No instruments. Yeah. Right? And look, I know there's some no instrument churches that are not high church, but still.
True, but right? Still, yeah. Yeah, but, I know what you mean.
Are they mad at God?
I think maybe so.
I think they are, and they don't realize it.
That's the key to it. Right? They don't realize.
They don't realize that what they're doing goes against what God is teaching.
Right.
Right. Our last podcast was the Good Samaritan about loving people.
Yeah.
Right. Show them that love.
Show them that love.
If you're mad because God welcomed them back with open arms, you're not loving.
Yeah. And what point, though, are people missing that are mad at God for that and not realizing it or maybe do realize it?
Yeah. What point are they missing?
What point are they missing?
Probably several, and your answer is probably different than mine. But
looking for a broad spectrum answer.
I think the point is that they could fall away someday too.
Exactly.
Right.
And that wasn't the answer that I thought you should have come up with, but that's what I was thinking in my mind.
but that they could fall away one day and squander all of their riches in heaven,
mm-hmm.
and have to
mm-hmm.
come back
mm-hmm.
and say, Lord, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I've sinned against you.
I've done it wrong.
Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he's going to do? He's going to throw them a party.
Yep. Well, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice.
That's right.
You know, when one comes and comes back. So I'm of the opinion that a restored relationship or a relationship that is beginning, there's a party going on in heaven.
Absolutely.
Folks. There's a party going on in heaven. There's a celebration.
I mean, it is absolutely that way.
Yeah.
And I wish people would recognize that. I wish people would recognize that people make mistakes
mm-hmm.
and God still loves them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking when you first start talking about high church people, and we all know them. I mean, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we've talked before about testimonies.
Yeah.
And paying attention to people's testimonies.
Yeah.
And no matter what that testimony was birthed from,
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a life of drugs and alcohol and robbing and stealing and, you know, killing and plundering and, you know, or if that testimony is birthed from somebody who was or is high church.
Yeah.
You know, that story is still important.
Absolutely.
It's still absolutely important.
So I think there's two things that I think everybody should take away from this parable, right? The first one is it doesn't matter where you go and what you've done. You can always
come back. Always come home.
You can always come home.
Right.
The kingdom of God is always home for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what junk you believe, right? I used to be there, right? BC, I can't go to church. I can't this. I've done bad things.
I'm too messed up to be saved.
Right. He don't want me. I've done bad things.
Right.
He don't want me.
Right. I'm not getting picked for this team.
Right. So right here, Jesus is telling us, you can always come home.
Mm-hmm. It's always there.
Always there. And the second thing I want people to take away from this is, even though you may not walk their walk, God still loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You may have never fallen away. You may have been faithful your whole life. That doesn't make you more righteous than them.
Right.
That doesn't make your standing better than theirs.
Well, I mean, because there's not three levels of heaven.
I agree with that, right?
That's
a Mormon thing. It's not a...
It's not right.
It's not real.
What I'm saying is there's not... You can't have... Because your faith was so much larger than mine, does it mean that your mansion is going to be so much bigger than mine?
Absolutely.
And because you gave more to the church, does it mean that because of my $50 a week contribution or tithing or whatever you want to call it, that doesn't mean that your reward in heaven is going to be greater than mine?
No. And Jesus even teaches that at one point, right? When he's in the temple and the woman gives the two coins, right? Or whatever.
The two mites.
The two mites.
Right.
He says her giving is way more than that person's.
Right. Because she gave everything that she
had. Everything she had.
Right. And that was one of the things when we talked about talents.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the way that we give back what God has gifted us with.
That's right.
You know, and the same thing goes here in the prodigal son.
Yeah.
You know, the things that he was given, the father gave him all of his inheritance.
That's right.
It gave him all of the money, all of the things that he was going to acquire when his dad passed away anyway. He gave it to him.
Yep.
And he takes off running with it, and he squanders it, he spends it, he blows it, however you want to describe it. It's gone.
That's right.
Through squanderous living in a faraway place where nobody, you know. And so he ends up, after this famine, feeding pigs, being so hungry that he is wanting the slop that the pigs are feeding.
That's right. And he says to himself, my dad's servants
eat better
get better than this. So right. I'm going to go be a servant.
Right. A servant.
Yeah. Which is what God wants us to be, servants.
Right.
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 But when you think about it, the dad gave him his half,
mm-hmm.
whether he deserved it or not at that time in his life.
Right.
Well, God's given you what you deserve. You have the kingdom of God today.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Here on earth, right? God has already given you the riches.
Yeah.
You can choose to squander them.
Or you can use to save them up.
Or you just do what you got to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do squander them, you're always welcome home.
Yeah.
You have to repent. I mean, there's some stuff you got to do.
Well, right? Obviously. Right. But, and here's the thing. The father didn't throw the party before the son said, I have sinned against heaven and against you.
That's right.
So it was at that point that the father realized, hey, my boy has made this realization that
that's
he was
right.
wrong.
That's right. That's right.
Right? He's asking for my forgiveness. Yes, I'm going to forgive you. Yes, we're going to throw a party because you have realized. It wasn't because he came back. It was because he realized as well that what he had done was wrong. And he had asked for that forgiveness from his father.
Yeah.
That I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you.
Yeah. True repentance.
True repentance.
Not right. There's a difference between remorse and repentance.
There is.
Right. He had remorse that he did it.
Right.
But unless you say, like, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven and I'm sorry.
Right.
That's and be truly sorry.
Sure. Yeah. Right? That,
and he was, because he was genuine. Starving. He recognized right. that, one, his dad didn't have to do everything.
Right.
And two, his dad didn't have to accept him back.
He didn't have to. He right. realized that. But he also knew that his rock bottom was exactly that.
That's right.
And the things that hit. But here's the difference in realizing your rock bottom and knowing your rock bottom. Because you know what you have done to get you to that point.
Yeah.
That's realizing your rock bottom.
Absolutely.
Knowing how far you can go to reach that rock bottom, that's totally everything. Because you're not recognizing what you've done to put yourself in that situation.
That's right. That's right. And if you don't recognize it, you're not going to be there.
You're not going to be there.
Yeah.
Not going to be there at all.
What about you? What's the thing they should take away from this?
I think the biggest thing to take away from this is realizing that the repentance is where the party starts.
Amen.
That's where the party starts.
Yeah.
Now, something that we tell people and something that we even talk about, you know, other people saying is, you know, living a Christian life is not going to be rainbows, unicorns, and Skittles.
Yep.
It's not.
In fact, it's the exact opposite.
It is. It's the hardest, easy decision that you'll ever make.
That's right. I say it all the time.
But I plagiarize that from Rick, folks. But the thing that you got to remember is, even in the hardest, easiest decision that you've ever made, it's also the most fulfilling.
Yeah.
And even though it's not easy, and even though things don't seem to go our way a lot of the times, it's still going God's way.
That's right.
And our way doesn't matter.
That's right.
So the biggest thing that I would tell you to take away from this, the biggest thing that I would tell you is that repentance begins the party.
That's a great sentence. Repentance begins the party.
Yeah.
Love it. Like, that should be on a shirt.
Possum, get your dad to make a shirt that says repentance.
Does Possum's dad make shirts?
Yeah.
You didn't know that? No.
Yeah. He said, look, check it out. So his dad had a t-shirt printing business, sold a business, went to work for the business that bought it, decided that he didn't like that anymore, quit working for them, bought some more t-shirt printing materials and t-shirt printing presses and stuff, and set it up in Possum's garage.
Yeah. I need to buy some shirts.
Okay.
That's a whole different conversation.
You got his number, call him.
I may not have Possum's number.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Possum, Rick's getting your number.
That's right. I'm going to call. I need some shirts. Look, this has been a great talk.
I loved it.
You know, I love the parables of Jesus are just amazing.
They really are.
Right? I love that we're doing it. You know, now this is number 6, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a whole bunch more to go. I got a whole sheet of like 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it because I think it helps us look at life today because it's so relative, right?
It is.
You can relate to it and just be like, I get it.
Yeah.
Right. You can see it in your everyday life.
Yeah, there's life applications in every single
place. Everyone. Right. Everyone.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I appreciate it. This is Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember, subscribe on YouTube or whatever podcast platform.
Every single platform.
We're there.
We are right there. Right. And always remember, guys, love God.
And love people.